What you are hearing is the inevitable sound of change happening to this frequency.
That's right. Welcome to Patriotically Correct Radio, broadcasting live from the Cortez Wealth Management Studios. My name is Stu Peters, and I am the enemy of all lies and mainstream media. I promise you that. Coming up on today's show, we're going to have Sheriff David Clark, as well as the congressman from Texas, Pete Sessions. We're going to ask him, where the hell is China Joe? Your state is in a crisis right now. We need the National Guard. Where are they? Oh, yeah, that's right. Protecting the illegitimately installed regime. That's where they are. We are also going to talk to Vish Burra. He is the current vice president of the largest chapter of the New York Young Republican Club. He will be here as well. We're going to talk about Nicole Malliotakis, who is selling out the Republican Party. But first, we go live to Cortez Wealth Management to talk to the man, Carlos Cortez Jr. And how are you today?
Hey, doing good. Thank you very much, Stu, for having me on. You know, it's interesting with the markets going up and down. We were just talking about this the other day. I said, look out for the rates, look out for inflation. And as all of America is driving around with this horrific frozen tundra, it seems like our whole country's in, what happened to gas? Gas is shooting up. The grocery stores, the milk is going up.
Gas prices are going up faster than the vote count for Joe Biden at 3 a.m.
Yeah. Seriously. So callers, all I've been doing is fielding calls of people that are just exposed to the market. They have their safe money with their advisor is literally in bonds. This is not a place to be in bonds right now. Look for international funds to really take off going on, because we have a pro-China fake president that wants to continue to give money to them. Yeah. I mean, point frank. And so we have a bank problem with CDs not keeping up with inflation, higher rates. It's going to create a lot of problems. Unfortunately, the bond market, which is bigger than a domestic market, is going to literally tank. And so the cool thing about the bond market is that it does tell us the future sometimes. It allows us to see what the stock market is going to do in the future. And if you're just out there in mutual funds and your 401k, let me give you my hand and let me throw the lifesaver out there. Protect your 401k, protect your monies. Call us, book an appointment, CortezWM.com.
CortezWM.com, or give him a call, 813-448-3446. The Sheriff, David Clark, America's Sheriff, is on standby. Stick around.
PC Radio.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Joe, 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 it's time to go, go, go. You're just so status quo.
Song.
Come on, man.
The PC Radio Show with Stu and Rich.
The accountability of the White House, the accountability of out of control progressive radicals disguised as Democrats, the accountability of the media and big tech, it's all possible, but it can only happen in a coordinated grassroots effort. What do I mean by this? Well, just hold on a second. I think about the most effective strategies in sales, marketing, campaigning. It's in person, door to door, knocking and talking, being present at important meetings, disseminating information through alternative sources. Coming up on today's show, for example, I'll be talking to Sheriff David Clark about a variety of issues. But when I was speaking to him off the air, the sheriff made an extremely valid point. He said we need to remain diversified in our platforms. Don't put all your eggs in the Parler basket. Don't put them all on Twitter. Diversify your platforms. We all saw Parler go down with a snap of a finger at the hands of communist Jeff Bezos over at Amazon. And we know that the goal is to choke out and silence every last remaining conservative, Trump-supporting, pro-police, liberty-loving, freedom-embracing, Christian, God-fearing, America-first voice in this country. There are many of us that will fight back. But sadly, the majority of Americans seem to more easily lay down. This is a problem, and it's extremely dangerous. For those of us that do fight, the communists know that we're older. We're set in our ways. They know that they won't get to us, essentially. They know that we will question the push to be vaccinated, stay at home, being locked down, disassociating with our family and friends, closing down our businesses. They know that we're not doing these things. They know that we won't be giving up on the Constitution and most certainly won't be handing over our guns. And they're willing to take that loss because we are, unfortunately, the majority. We're the lions. We are the truth. The truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. You let it loose, it will defend itself. For us, the plan for the communists is to target our children. We've proven that. We've talked about it ad nauseum on this program. The social justice progressive radicals that have infiltrated our educational system are already teaching white kids that they need to repent for their whiteness. And they're using actual books in their curriculum that teaches our kindergartners, for example, that all cops are racist, murderous bastards. They're setting up for an extremely fast-moving takeover, and it's working. We know the narratives are fake. The news is fake. The media is fake. The pundits are fake. The science, the experts, the politicians, the anchors, the broadcast networks, the stories, all fake, and we know this. But the truth is right here. It's right there. It's right in front of us. And it's being objectively reported by reliable sources. It's being distributed by concerned Americans and social media platforms, but never to the mainstream media. They will ignore it because they are in bed with the CCP. They're paid by the same billionaires and big box stores, giant corporations, and members of the global faction as these bought and paid for politicians are. Listen, I care about you. All of you. I really do. I mean that. I care deeply about Americans. I care deeply about America. And I want us to hand a country to our kids that embraces the values that makes the United States of America indisputably the greatest nation the planet has ever seen. We can do this, but it's going to take the same grassroots, door-to-door knocking and talking meeting attendance that's effective in the most successful marketing campaign. Stick with me for a minute. Let me just ask you a question. Had you heard that the CDC had to admit that they had accidentally sent out batches of COVID tests that were tainted with the coronavirus? I had not heard that until I received an email with a tip from a listener of this program. You see, we have to rely on each other for this kind of information. I don't have access to everything, to every bit of information. I'm looking at different sources than you're looking at, and that's why we need to talk to each other. This particular instance happened back at the end of June, but the mainstream media completely ignored it. Total blackout. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to see it, did it actually happen? It can't be true because I didn't see it or hear it on CNN or the Fox News channel, right? The CDC claimed that those tainted tests didn't actually give anyone COVID and that the only effect the tainted vaccinations had was the inaccurate reporting of their data. I'll get back to that. The CDC said in a statement that the agency, quote, did not manufacture its test consistent with its own protocol. Although the CDC appeared reluctant to admit contamination was at the root of the problem, they were caught later saying something contradictory in another statement where they acknowledged the problem, saying the agency has, quote, since implemented enhanced quality control to address the issue and will be assessing the issue moving forward. But I thought there was no issue. See, this is the information, something like this, the public should be very aware of. These are the stories that really impact the health and safety of you and me, our kids, and our teachers, our frontline workers, our first responders. This directly impacts the ability, for example, to reopen schools. And although the statement was that nobody contracted COVID by being injected with COVID, my question is, how is this possible? If the virus is so contagious, so dangerous, so easily spread, how can you not be infected with it if I'm taking a Q-tip and shoving it so far up your nose that it enters into the blood-brain barrier? I mean, we aren't talking about a guy coughing less than 27 feet from me or a guy picking his boogers 6 feet away. We aren't talking about kids that are maybe less than properly distanced at schools. We're talking about a direct infection, a direct entry point of the virus into the blood-brain barrier in your cranium. Now, this is going to be highlighted as a tinfoil hat-wearing, Trump-supporting racist conspiracy theory by a conservative bootlicking virus denier, but the question has to be asked. Is it possible that tainted COVID tests are deliberately being sent to specific areas to justify continuing the lockdowns that are crushing our economy and our collective mental health? Well, we don't know. But the fact is, we're living in the middle of a communist takeover. Propaganda, misinformation, and disinformation are spreading as easily as the legs of the vice president. So we have to consider absolutely everything as a possibility. The point is, that story, this information, is likely unknown to your neighbor. The other mom on your kid's soccer team most likely has no idea about these tainted COVID tests. And maybe this is information that your pastor would feel compelled to hand over to the congregation. You see what I'm saying? The fact of the matter is, the most successful form of communication, in my opinion, has always been and always will be in person, face to face, with the shake of a hand, looking directly into the eyes of whomever you're engaging. Get flyers together. I don't know. Study real information. Vet the sources that you're reading from. Double and triple check the validity of what you're absorbing. Tune out the rest and take the truth directly to those you care about. It's my mantra. That is the mantra of this show. Social media is dying. The media is dead. Get it together, folks. We have a country to save. Hey, it's Stu Peters on behalf of the premier sponsor here on Patriotically Correct, Cortez Wealth Management. And Cortez Wealth Management, patriotically correct, they are. America first fiduciary, God-fearing fiduciary, Christian, proud American. That's what he is. He's a patriot. And if you're not doing business with him, you're not doing business with a real patriot. I'm telling you right now. So if you're doing business with somebody that does not put America first, conservative values at the top of their priority list, you need to get out of there. At least call Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management. Have a free consultation with him. Book an appointment online at CortezWM.com. That's CortezWM.com, or give them a call, 813-448-3446. Again, that's 813-448-3446 for Cortez Wealth Management.
Attention, liberal snowflakes. Caught you listening again.
Well, you happen to have caught me in a moment of self-pleasure.
Stewie and Richie, the patriotically correct radio show is on the Warrior Radio Network.
He has had an incredibly honorable and distinguished career in law enforcement. He attended the prestigious FBI National Academy and the National Executive Institute in Quantico, Virginia. He began his career in 78, where he protected and served the members of his hometown of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and now is revered as one of the nation's most prolific law enforcement leaders and voices. You can find him on Parler at Sheriff Clark. Grab a copy of his latest book, Cop Under Fire. He's a friend of the show now. Sheriff David Clark joins us. Welcome, Sheriff. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for that introduction.
Of course. You took to Parler yesterday and wrote, quote, "Only in libtard Hollywood do they give out awards to a Democrat responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of elderly people who then covered it up. A masterful use of TV, they called it. That's sick. Liberals have no conscience," end quote. You were referring to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, who sent elderly people to what I call progressive death camps. Sheriff, the governor of Wisconsin, if he had done this when you were in Milwaukee, would there have been a criminal investigation, and should New York or federal law enforcement be looking into this?
Well, let's sort this out, because there's a number of moving parts here. First of all, local law enforcement does not need anybody's permission to conduct a criminal investigation. However, when it's something of this magnitude and you have to have the wherewithal to understand how important this is, you better get some other people involved. So I would contact the local county prosecutor, and I would contact the state attorney's general office to get them in early on and say, hey, look, we got this thing. Some of this is starting to develop, and we want your guidance and your leadership on this role. Because when you're looking at a governor or a mayor, somebody that high up on the food chain, you can't just like go off half-cocked, if you will, start making arrests and that sort of thing, because you'll blow the case. So yeah, criminal investigation's in order. I think it should be run by the state attorney's general office in conjunction with some local agency.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen this Assemblyman Kim coming out now. I saw last night, late in the evening, a report that now the governor's calling him, screaming at him, threatening him, telling him, you have no idea what I can do to you. He's going to ruin you. He's going to end you. All these other things. I mean, this is just typical bully nonsense coming again from the governor of New York, Cuomo, who we know has been a bully. How do people like this continue, in your opinion, to get elected?
It's New York. It's just like California. But look, you know, it's pretty obvious to me that Governor Cuomo is starting to feel the heat. I'm just amazed that it took so long, because this came out some time ago as to what happened here. And only now is this thing starting to get traction, but better late than never. But here's another thing. I don't know what the federal role in this thing is I don't know that any federal laws have been violated, number one. So I don't know why the FBI is in on it. But I also don't trust the FBI to do this anyway. All right. The FBI bungled the Hillary Clinton Secret Service investigation. They bungled the emails. They tried to frame a sitting president trying to undo an election. And I said a long time ago, they have no more credibility. They're unethical. I think there's corruption within that agency, and that's why I don't trust them. They're known for protecting, especially, Democrat insiders, Cuomo's high up on the food chain in terms of the Democrat Party. Plus, it'll take the FBI 2 years minimum to do this investigation that should be able to be accomplished in 2 months.
Yeah. You know, I think the FBI involvement, the way that I was reading it, is because the DOJ is investigating this obstruction. And, you know, that could potentially be a felony or a federal deal, rather, because of the fact that he was covering, for federal numbers and from the DOJ and from the, you know, the Department of Health and all of these other things. So, but I agree with you. It's not, they're not bumbling this up by accident. This to me is on purpose. Joe Biden, switching gears a little bit, seems to be really concerned about Texas, but not for the reasons we think, not because the citizens of that state are dealing with an actual emergency due to a storm, not because millions are without power and people are dying because they can't get help. But moreover, he's concerned about catering to illegal immigrants now, Sheriff, as he opens the doors to our country, allows over 25,000 unvetted, untested criminal aliens to pour into the United States via Texas. So, does federal or Texas state law enforcement have the authority to defy the communist regime and stop these people from coming into our country?
This is interesting. It really is, because what you have is the flip of how sanctuary cities handled immigration. They defied immigration agents. They wouldn't allow them into jails. They actually created laws in some states, California being one, that prohibits local law enforcement from working with ICE officials. So now you have Texas. And by the way, this is a constitutional issue. And so I think we need some courts involved in this here. But, you know, under Article 4, Section 2, it says the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. It goes on to say, and on application of the legislature of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. If you look and what's been being dragged into this country, especially during a pandemic, this makes no sense. There are three reasons why a border enforcement is important, you know, to protect U.S. sovereignty. One, you have domestic and national security issues. You have sex traffickers coming in. You have terrorists. You have groups like MS-13 coming into the border. The second reason is to prevent the spread of infectious diseases. We're doing this during a pandemic, which makes no sense. That's going to impact the state of Texas, their medical system, so on and so forth. And the third reason for border security is you want to control the influx, high influx of another country's ne'er-do-well. So this is placing a heavy burden on Texas. A governor of Texas plays a role here. He has an obligation to protect the residents of Texas. So there's some shared duty and responsibility here. But in my estimation, in the absence of the federal government doing their job, I think the state of Texas, the governor has to step up and he has to do something about it.
Yeah. Clearly, protecting United States citizens is not the the priority here for the Biden administration, which brings me to my next point. They're now attacking gun owners, and we knew that that was going to happen. I mean, this was an attack on 1A, first of all. Now they go 2A. They silence you first. Then they take your ability to defend yourself away. So there's specific legislation, H.R. 127, which I saw that you were weighing in on Parler as well, which would create a mandatory registry that lists the name of gun owners, the number of firearms they possess, and where they keep their guns. This is unprecedented. Do you see this as a danger to gun owners?
It's a huge danger. It's a very slippery slope. It's one of the things that gun organizations, pro-Second Amendment organizations, have always feared, a national gun registry. I don't think this will pass Supreme Court or constitutional muster, but that takes time to work its way through the courts. I'm just speaking for myself here. I'm not telling anybody else what to do. Excuse me. I wouldn't comply with this. No way. So push is going to have to come to shove. And I think there are probably hundreds of thousands of people who think like me that say, we're not going to comply with this. And so push will come to shove. But, you know, this we knew this was coming, like you said. They've been dreaming of this thing for a very long time. They now have the pieces in place to crush us with us, but it's going to be time for people to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. We'll have to get state attorneys general involved in this. Some states have already banded together, red states, with their attorney general and said, we're going to fight any attempt by Washington to impact on the people of their state's ability to own guns. It is also, a Fourth Amendment issue, because they're now starting to come inside our home. They have no authority whatsoever to get inside my home and start asking me questions like, where do you store your guns? It's none of their business.
Well, we're just going to send you a form. We're just going to ask you to tell us. And if you don't, you'll be you'll face penalties, you know, sanctions, fines, jail time.
Yeah,
possibly.
I have a shredder.
Yeah. And this goes along with, I mean, they're attacking this 2A at every level. I'm sure that you're aware of the $200 per gun tax that the Biden administration is condoning. They're trying to push this thing through. If you own 40 guns, you better be ready to write a check for $8,000 right now. And so then now it's not, well, we're coming to get your guns. We're knocking on your door, but it's not federal law enforcement. It's tax enforcement. So the IRS is going to be coming knocking on your door as a tax issue saying, hey, where's your money? So I think that no matter what they try to get through here, they're looking at everything, magazine capacity, the platform of the weapon, whether it's an M4 platform, you know, an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle that, you know, that people use, the tax issue side of it, or now they want people like retired law enforcement officers, such as yourself, and you're a prolific person. I mean, you could easily be targeted by somebody. Now everybody's going to know how many guns does Sheriff Clark own, if you complied, and where specifically you store them. I was just watching a show on television last night about I Survived a Crime. Brand new show. Haven't ever seen it before. Kind of like it. But these home invasions, nobody ever thinks that they're going to be a target of these things. This is happening all over the place. And if people know exactly where your weaponry is, that's absolutely absurd.
You know this is going to create that sort of market from criminals. Look, this stuff has been tried before by the Democrats. Most of the time it's been shot down by a court. It has a chilling effect on a person exercising a constitutional liberty, and it also frustrates them. And that's what this is designed to do. A tax on guns is no different than a poll tax. That in the South, they used to do to frustrate blacks from exercising their a right to vote. They put a tax, some sort of tax, a test, or, you know, some sort of way to block them or frustrate them from voting. It's the same thing, and we should be just as appalled with this sort of frustration in terms of exercising our rights as what was happening to newly freed blacks in the South with a poll tax.
I love having you on because I always learn something new. And that's a very interesting perspective. I want to talk to you about another interesting thing. The cancel culture is running rampant. You know, I still see that you're hanging out on Twitter. You're on Parler, that whole platform, now back after being canceled completely by those deep staters and the people that sit at the round table of the cabal that controls people like Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, these people. So the cancel culture is a real thing. We're seeing people doxed. We're seeing businesses cancel people like Mike Lindell for trying to come out and expose truth and give evidence. He had to purchase airtime on OAN. Everybody else canceled. And so the silencing, the shadow banning, the deletion, and then the doxing and exposure, and then the threat of having your business burned down. I mean, we interviewed somebody just the other day who was at the Capitol, the guided peaceful tour, patriotically showing her support for President Trump. And she's a business owner in her community. She's now facing all kinds of blowback, you know, the threats and the death threats and the building burning and all this nonsense. But what about inner party? So, I mean, this is kind of the elephant in the room that hasn't been addressed yet. The infighting happening with Republicans. You look at a guy like Adam Kinzinger, anybody who supported President Trump inside of his own party, he's now calling them down on the carpet. You're going to see people like Marjorie Taylor Greene attacked because she's standing up and she's speaking out. She doesn't only serve the people of Georgia, but she's a staunch supporter of the Constitution, President Trump, individual liberties and freedom, Christianity. These people are going to be attacked by our own party. Does this surprise you? I mean, let's talk about this a little bit.
No, not at all. Look, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here, too. First of all, there's a schism going on within the GOP. Personally, I think the GOP needs a facelift. I think they need to look inside themselves and see when they look around that the establishment run things. It's not very diverse and it's not very inclusive. But what they're trying to do now is rid themselves of any vestige of President Donald Trump. And it's not going to happen. The 75 million plus voters that voted for him are going to stay with him. That's where the power is, the base voter. Look, this establishment keeps this up. Base voters are not going to come out in the midterms and vote. They're just not going to vote. Or they'll come in there and write in somebody's name and they'll try to primary all these establishment people. But the fact is that, when it comes to purging, the people who need to be purged are this old establishment, this old guard. It's time for them to move out of the way and allow a new generation of people to come and step up, like you mentioned, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and there's others. It's time for them to be allowed to influence the direction of this party. And as long, I think the schism is good. I think there needs to be a shaking out. I think if push comes to shove, the Trump voter, I think the president's still very influential in this thing, and he's promised to help primary some people. The establishment of the GOP is going to learn a hard lesson, but I'll tell you what, their day is coming to an end.
Yeah, and it's not only in politics. You see it in the media. You see people getting their contracts canceled. Lou Dobbs, good example. Fox News Channel, don't know what's going on over there. It's pretty scary, the media participating in this. The people that were supposed to be for us, living under disguise almost like a cloak. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing. Sheriff Clark, go ahead, Sheriff.
The media is a waste of time right now. I would advise people not to pay too much attention there. There's other avenues that we can use, and that's what we should do. Look, change is coming, and I'm excited about it.
Me too. Sheriff Clark, get a copy of his book, Cop Under Fire. Find him on Parler at Sheriff Clark. Always a pleasure talking to you, and thanks for being a friend of the show. Coming up, we have Congressman Pete Sessions from Texas. He's frozen in down there. He's got no power. Where is FEMA? Where is the National Guard? Oh, that's right. They're in Washington, D.C., protecting the swamp and the installed president. More PC Radio. The powerful conversation continues in, 120 seconds. Go nowhere. My name is Stu Peters. Stick around. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit of a story here. You remember the GameStop debacle, where the free market showed these big hedge funds in Washington what we are really capable of. I didn't know what the heck was going on. That's not my language. I needed an expert to come on this program and tell me what was going on, help us all make some sense of it. That's when I was introduced to Carlos Cortez. He interviewed here on the show, has since become the premier title sponsor of Patriotically Correct. And you know why? Because we do business with America First Patriots here at this radio program. And if you're not doing business with a fiduciary that puts America first, then you're not doing business with Carlos Cortez at Cortez Wealth Management. You need to give him a call. He's an authentic, God-fearing, Christian, America-first, patriotic American citizen that cares about you and your financial future amid a climate where nobody really knows what to expect. Your retirement is important. The future that you set up for your kids and your grandkids is extremely important, and Carlos Cortez puts that first. His whole staff goes to church with him, and I'm telling you, they will take care of you. Give him a call, 813-448-3446. That's 813-448-3446. Or get online, book an appointment, no charge, no obligation. Just talk it out with Carlos Cortez and his great people over at Cortez Wealth Management at CortezWM.com. That's CortezWM.com.
Broadcasting live from the highest cloud of privileged patriotism. The PC Radio Show is on Mojo 5-0 Radio.
It's no secret to the world that there is a real emergency happening in the southern part of the United States, which is tragically catastrophic for our fellow Americans in these places. For example, Texas, where millions remain without power, water, internet, and gas, no heat, no lights, and no communication in many areas. Helicopters are able to fly in to de-ice the wind turbines, but we haven't seen any choppers sent by the White House to drop supplies to the people of Texas. FEMA can be set up for mass inoculation, but where is FEMA now as Texans are suffering and dying? Pete Sessions is a proven conservative leader born and raised in Waco and is committed to giving the American people's voice the extra strength that's needed in Congress. And Representative Sessions joins us now by phone. Congressman, thank you so much for being here. How's it going in Texas?
Well, it's an interesting time, and thank you for caring enough to hear from us. We are in the middle of what would be a week-long storm that has gripped the entire state of Texas. It has, in the history of records being kept, this is the record. And it involves all 254 counties in Texas, although at some point some counties are better than others. We have been gripped by freezing weather down into deep South Texas of 6 below. For a week, we have ice and snow. But as you suggest, the really biggest problem that we have is the lack of energy, of a power grid, of all the things that come with that. And now we're facing a problem with food. And the food shortages that come as a result of the inability of Texans to be able to skate across the ice-laden highways in an 18-wheeler. So we're faced with enormous challenges right now in Texas.
How about the military? Can the National Guard help? I mean, they have vehicles, obviously, that are more capable of traveling. I mean, so just for a little subjection here, Congressman, the president seems to be very concerned with Texas as it relates to you opening your doors to 25,000 people illegally pouring into our country without vetting their criminal history and without being tested for COVID. Meanwhile, these National Guardsmen that I'm speaking of are in Washington to protect the regime, members of the swampy administration there, and are there, in my opinion, to continue the narrative that Trump supporters are dangerous. They're there for optics. But for the sake of your time, I digress. Texas really needs them right now. Why hasn't the president sent these service members to the great state of Texas to help the people?
Well, these are all questions that are pertinent. Let's try and dissect these a little bit, maybe one at a time.
Sure.
First of all, Texas is a proud state and proud to be a part of the United States of America. And we believe that when we have our governor to issue an emergency declaration, that it should be honored by the president of the United States with that, that's properly done. We've had wildfires in the past that President Obama refused the helicopters that specifically were designed for this and the planes that were designed for that. So we have been through what I would say political consequences in the past during natural disasters. I need to say that thank goodness that President Biden did agree that we would qualify for federal assistance. Now, the question is, how quickly can we get all this happening? The Adjutant General of the state of Texas, Major General Norris, has been initiated and properly authorized by the governor of the state of Texas. I believe that the federal government component through the Guard, through the military, they have lots of resources. First of all, they have larger vehicles that and manpower that come with them. They have generators that would be very important to large, small communities in particular that have been cut off. But part of this has been exacerbated by the view of this religion that comes from the left about global warming and about energy policy. And one thing that is very apparent to us is elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. They have a huge idea and direction towards policy, and that policy has an impact. We are today, as we go through what we're doing, recognizing we need to accept the responsibilities. We need to see what failures have come from this. But as we look into the future, all of those solutions need to be on the table to fix it. And we are concerned as policy people about what President, necessarily President Biden, his administration, and others, whether they would allow us to work in a way that would create a safer circumstance for Texas. Once this has happened, it may happen again. And I will tell you, that is where the biggest battle lies ahead for Texas.
We're talking to Pete Sessions, United States Congressman serving Texas's 17th district, but you've served the whole United States. You serve as a ranking member on the Civil Rights and Civil Liberties Subcommittee, serving on the House Oversight and Reform Committee, voted against the Electoral College and opposed the Trump impeachment. You truly are a voice for all Americans. In Texas right now, Congressman, I've been to your state, and I really love your state, and I love it for everything that it is. It's so diverse, and it's beautiful most of the year as far as climate is concerned. I know that you're going through a real doozy here right now, but the people of your state are so genuine. They're so helpful to one another. I know that that's one thing that you really appreciate about your state. What have you seen in your state as far as the citizens of Texas, the people of Texas, getting out there and helping one another? Have you had a chance to see any of that stuff firsthand?
In fact, we have. And I was just out this morning here in McLennan County, which is Waco, included in there, and was with two deputy sheriffs. And I dropped by to look at this huge group stack of transformers that are being pre-positioned for electrical generation for workers who, when they come to get to this side of town, would have these transformers. And as I pulled up, I was approached. I was just in my vehicle. Two deputy sheriffs approached me and said, "Hey, what are you here for?" And I said, I told them, "I am Congressman Sessions." Oh, hey, Congressman, how you doing? And I said, what are y'all doing here? They said, "We've already had people trying to interfere with these transformers." Mm-hmm. So we have to remember that's not the Texas you want to hear about, but law enforcement is having to be out there to protect the workers, trying to protect the people. But there are some people who don't always see it that way. So we have been out trying to make sure we are talking to people, understanding where the warm centers are, and they are set up all across the state of Texas. And I'll tell you, the people who have done the, in my opinion, the humble work, and that is churches.
Wonderful.
Churches across Texas, men and women of faith have put not just their faith and their confidence, but their service orientation. And I've got a son that's a Down syndrome young man who could not take care of himself. And while Alex is taken care of, there are many others that do not have those abilities. And these are the kinds of people that we care about: senior citizens, people with intellectual and physical disabilities. These are the people we got to worry about, and that's what Texas is attempting to focus on right now.
Do you have any idea of identifying who these people were that were trying to interfere with these transformers, and why, what their motive would have been to try to do this?
No, and I don't know that, and I was very cautious. If you go on my website, you'll be able to see where these two deputy sheriffs were there, and they had reports of people jumping up on them. Is all I know, and that it's hard to know whether someone was planning on taking them but they were interfering. And it's the kind of thing where just at the time help arrives and they are there, they have to protect the men and women who are doing the hard work. And we just do in the world today. You have to protect people who are there to help. That's why police officers show up when fire trucks show up. Our first responders many times are taken advantage of too. So let's turn this thing to a discussion about how we need to use conservative, constructive leadership in Texas. First of all, we need to understand and study and hear from people about what happened, why it happened. And we are hearing that some of our relationships that we had with where other states are a part of power lines, are a part of providing natural gas and other items, they were stressed also. They were stressed from this huge blast that came down. But the question is, now that we have done this, we need more infrastructure like XL Pipeline. We need more infrastructure that would garner and place America in a position to where it does not have these lines, these transmission lines that are in trouble. And we really need infrastructure, and we're talking about an infrastructure package in Washington, D.C. It darn well should include the opportunity to make sure that the pipes and the safe travel of natural gas and electricity and energy is part of that infrastructure. And I have heard from lots of my colleagues that are not on our side that that's, we need to put everything on the highway. We need to put them on a train. We need to put them in other methods that are not as effective and not making sure that we're ready. Secondly, we need to bring back the discussion about nuclear power. Nuclear power here in Texas provides about 11% of what we have, but Texas is growing, and a non-emitting source of energy is what nuclear power does. And so we're going to be pushing, I hope, as part of what we do to modernize our infrastructure, is the building of pipelines and the building of nuclear power that will provide safe and effective power generation for us in the coming years.
Question for you as it relates to the pipeline, and I agree, Congressman, with absolutely everything that you just said. The Keystone XL pipeline has been halted by the president. One of the first things that he did through executive action when he assumed the office of the presidency. Is this something that can be reversed, and is that going to be a priority for Congress, specifically for you? Or is this thing just dead in the water altogether?
We need to be fair and say that it's going to take a messaging element, and it's going to take actually a circumstance that happened like this to where we wake up to reality. People have viewed that this was, you know, Texas is the land of this, all this energy, the energy capital, so to speak, of the United States. Well, to make it work properly and right, it also involves Canada, because the XL pipeline was a utilization between two great nations, Canada and the United States, of their resources also for effective use of the resources that God gave us. These are things that God made available to us, and we're reaping the resources that the earth is producing. We need to make sure that we have a constant messaging element, and I intend, and I'm sure some of my other colleagues from Texas will do this. Now that we are where we are and we see the frailties and we see where this can happen, even though it's never happened in the past, we need to be prepared. But I wouldn't want this to happen to somebody in Minneapolis either.
Right.
I would not want them to be without. And this is where, if you're going to be president of the United States, you have to set aside some political contribution that you, and I don't mean money, I mean their thinking, with the reality of the times. We need to have a balanced above utilization of all resources. For instance, if you live in the Northwest, we got to have hydropower. Well, we don't have that opportunity here. So natural gas and the availability of the XL pipeline will be part of my regular drumbeat to this administration by the people of the state of Texas.
We appreciate it, and I know the people of Texas do as well. Congressman, I know that you're extremely busy and that you have to get back to taking care of your duties there in Texas, and we appreciate your time and thank you for joining us. We hope that we will be able to talk to you again as we follow up on how the amazing people of Texas overcame this. How about that?
Well, we're going to, and the positive power of being an American, a positive power of one nation under God, and our faith and confidence in how our Constitution can work through this republic is a critical to our, not just our thinking, but what we're counting on. And we're going to go prove that in. And thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Congressman, and God bless you, and God bless Texas. God bless America. Coming up, you will not believe what is going on in New York. The Young Republicans are having some issues with funding from inside of their own Republican Party. No, this can't be. PC Radio continues in 60 seconds. Stand by. My name is Stu Peters. Hey, it's your America First boyfriend, Stu Peters, here to tell you about Verve Forever. Now, Verve Forever is a CBD company, all right? That might not mean anything to you because you already have a CBD company that you do business with. But if you're not doing CBD business with a veteran-owned CBD company, then you need to check out Verve. Verve promises the highest quality CBD products at the most affordable prices. Now, I'm not only just advocating for them because I get paid to do it, I'm also a customer. You remember the old commercials. And not only am I a blah, 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 I'm also a client, but I really am. I use the pain cream on my shoulder. It levels out the pain. I have none. I no longer need surgery. Also, if you have PTSD, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, possibly any kind of stress that you're dealing with, any mental health issues, you always need to be on an even keel, and Verve products can help you with that. I know that sounds confusing. It's hard to understand. But if you need more information, all you have to do is go over to StuPeters.com. That's StuPeters.com. Scroll down just a little bit. You'll see the Verve Forever logos. Tim Klun, the president there, a veteran of the United States Air Force and an America First Patriot. Do business with America First Patriots. Do your CBD business with Verve Forever, because I'm telling you to. Verve Forever. Go to StuPeters.com right now for more information. StuPeters.com.
The enemy of progressive politicians and politically correct assholes. PC Radio Worldwide at the PCRadioshow.com.
As you all know, the swamp is not limited to Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, or the radical progressives that have hijacked it. The swamp has infected the Republican Party, and many have walked away from President Donald Trump. We know this. They're letting it be known. They're selling him out. They're selling you out, only to support their own political aspirations and pocketbooks. They don't care about you, and they certainly do not put America first. This is incredibly evident right now in New York, specifically Staten Island, where McCarthy loyalist Nicole Malliotakis is abandoning the values that best serve America. She's fallen off the MAGA wagon. She's gone completely wonky, and she's indicated that she's squishy and owned by the establishment, serving only in the best interest of big government, not you. Vish Burra is the former producer of War Room, Pandemic with Steve Bannon, and is the current vice president of the New York Young Republican Club. He joins us now. Vish, welcome to Patriotically Correct. Thank you for being here. What's going on in Staten Island? Do we have another sellout defecting to the CCP in this Malliotakis?
Well, thank you for having me on, Stu.
Of course.
I believe what we have in Malliotakis is someone who's sort of ambivalent to the foreign powers that are trying to infect our elites and the people who run our country today. I think the only thing these days trickling down from the global elites to, you know, all the way down to, you know, Staten Island and the Nicole Malliotakis' congressional district is apathy for the American people. I think that basically what we have in Nicole is someone who's sold out her constituency for a future in D.C. the same way Liz Cheney in Wyoming has.
Now, Liz Cheney in Wyoming, sources close to Patriotically Correct Radio, when we first learned of this story and we knew that we were going to be talking to you today, we dug into this. Malliotakis actually voted for the Liz Cheney to stay there, and she's right alongside of her. Is that right?
That's correct. Nicole Malliotakis did, in fact, it was a secret vote, but there are sources confirming that are saying that Nicole Malliotakis voted for Liz Cheney to keep her in Republican leadership. And not only that, she was one of her first and most vehement supporters to go up there and speak in favor of her. So, I don't know if the American people, specifically those voters who came out in 2016 in Staten Island and 2020 to vote for Donald Trump at over an 80% clip amongst Republicans in 2016. And the same thing again in 2020, I don't think she's serving our interests. I'm a resident of Staten Island as well. I've known Nicole since she was an assembly member. She was my assembly member here in this district. So I've known her for a long time, and I truly, honestly do not believe that she serves the best interests of the American people.
Now, the you're the vice president of the New York Young Republican Club.
Yes.
Tell us about the New York Young Republican Club for those people who may not have any idea what this is.
Oh, yeah. So the New York Young Republican Club is the oldest and largest young Republican chapter in the country. We actually, you know, with the leadership of President Gavin Wax and myself in the vice president role, we turned this club around and opened the gates to the MAGA revolution in New York City through this club. And we've been wildly successful in our efforts. And we are really sort of setting a tone on almost a cultural level on how to reshape the party, retake the party, and grow our movement and cultivate our best talent. Yeah. And so we've been working very hard to show that, and we've gotten great support, including from Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, as well as Elise Stefanik in New York, you know, but and as well as Lee Zeldin. But what we haven't seen is support from Nicole Malliotakis, who's the only congressional representative Republican from the five boroughs.
Let's talk about that. So what kind of support is it that you got from Gaetz that you're not getting from Malliotakis?
Well, Matt, Congressman Gaetz pledged to match $1,000 in donations for our clubhouse fund. We've been so successful, we've been able to lease a clubhouse space for our efforts and basically create an HQ for the America First movement in New York City, in Manhattan, in the belly of the beast. And because of our valiant efforts, Congressman Gaetz noticed this, realized this, commended us, and supported us with $5,000 in matching donations. We've gotten similar support from Stefanik and Zeldin. Malliotakis has not shown us any sort of love, hasn't even acknowledged it. And it's kind of disappointing when we have a young, youthful face, you know, a club full of volunteers right here in her backyard who can help her win, help her keep her seat. And she's not giving us any credence.
That's because she's a sellout. That's because she's fake. And it's obvious. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. You're getting support from other states to help the New York chapter of the Young Republicans, and from inside of your own state, specifically right in your own borough.
Yeah,
you're being ignored. You're a common sense individual. You have a level head here, America First values. You're a black guy that refused to leave the plantation. Is that right?
I'm Indian.
You're an Indian guy.
100% Indian.
Okay,
yes.
You're a minority guy.
Yes. A son of immigrants.
Left the plantation.
Yes.
How disastrous this must be for the Democrats in your area that you're speaking out with common sense. And I'm sorry for calling you a black guy. I'm just going by perception. I probably shouldn't do that.
Oh, no worries at all. I was actually in the
documentary
as well, produced by Larry Elder. So, you know, I have a sort of track record for speaking on behalf of minorities and, minority issues against this sort of plantation mentality that the Democrats, intend to oppose on minority communities across America.
Yeah. And it's happening. And it's the sympathizers and it's okay. We understand you're oppressed. Excuses here, excuses there. Here's your first of the month check. Let's keep you in the ghetto. We don't believe that you can ever go do. You're right. You can't do anything in this country that anybody else can. And you're being held down by these white oppressionists. It's mm-hmm. the story goes on and on. I know that you're very familiar. You're a level headed person. But getting back to the question, what do young people do? You know, you see somebody like this Malliotakis, right?
Yeah.
She got there with some, I'm sure that she's heavily funded by billionaires and people that are swamp rats. I'm sure that she's backed by people who actually know how to get things done. They know how to get things organized, but not necessarily for the right reasons. You seem to be very well organized along with the Young Republicans Club in New York there. How do people get involved with you? How do they get involved with making sure that people like Malliotakis are held accountable to be there representing her constituents, doing what Americans want?
Right. And I always tell young folks this. I always started off with this. 70% of the battle is showing up. And so you got to show up to places that can possibly influence these decisions. Show up to events. Make sure you're involved with your local grassroots organizations and local GOP chapters, or contribute your own. Create your own. Do something.
Okay, so how about
every contribution is valuable.
My voice doesn't count. My voice doesn't mean anything. My vote doesn't count. This is the state of the. This is the mind of conservatives right now, specifically young ones.
Yeah, it's a silly notion. It's actually a silly notion. I want to just say that we have done a terrible job from the top down in the GOP in terms of how we view activism. The left views activism and wears it as a badge of honor, and we sort of look down on it as sort of, the dirty work that you leave to the kids.
Yeah.
Right. And so this is, we need to flip this on its head and kind of, you know, bring glory to the idea of contributing anything, you know, outside of your vote, outside of your dollar, and giving more to the to the movement is something commendable and something, you know, that should receive, you know, appreciation.
Other than what you're doing and other than your efforts in New York right now, it is a political mess. There is a planned murderous genocide happening by the governor, Andrew Cuomo. It's now being investigated by the FBI. And boy, do we trust that they will come clean. They're not corrupt at all.
I'm not holding my breath.
I'm not holding my breath either. There's nothing in New York right now that's happening that's really ultra good. So we're happy that you're doing what you're doing. And we hope that the people, the young people in particular, will look at this and say, listen, Cuomo is a dirtbag. We need to get him out of there. Maliotakis is not representing what it is that we want. And it's being shown by her actions. Lip service is nothing, folks. You have to understand that the only way that you can really judge somebody is by their actions. She's doing nothing. She needs to support you. And that's a fact. We're going to check back in with you, Vish, as this thing continues to progress. We appreciate you being here.